This is the Ladbrokes Racing Channel. Keep up to date with all the latest racing news and previews at news.ladbrokes.com. And for all the latest odds, head to ladbrokes.com. Online, on mobile, and also on tablet.
Hello and welcome to the Channel 4 Racing Podcast. My name's William Gelder, joined as ever by Ben Stones and Matt Moore in the studio. We're taking a look at three of this weekend's big races from Sandown. We'll start off with the 2 o'clock at Sandown, the Coral Charge, or the Sprint Stakes, if you like. Group 3 contest over 5 furlongs and 6 yards. And your favourite is Mecca's Angel at 5-2, half a point shorter than Wadi, who is at 3s. Mecca's Angel, 3 wins on the bounce, 2 of those group 3s, and beaten some impressive sprinters in that period, the likes of Marek, Hot Streak, Pearl Secret, which is quite impressive consistency from a sprinter. And at the top of the market, do you think she's just a justifiable favourite there, Ben?
I suppose on what she's done so far, yeah, she probably is. She's probably got the strongest form in the book. You'd have to worry whether she's going to take part at all, because Michael Dodds pulled her out of Ascot because the ground wasn't soft enough for her. It's good to firm at the moment, I think. I think they're planning to water, but whether they water enough to see her participate, I'm not sure. Her trainer's been sort of pessimistic, I suppose, about how she goes on decent ground. But I mean, she's gone well on both first starts on good ground. She's fourth in the 2-year-old trophy on good to firm as well. So she's got some solid form on a sounder surface, but her handler obviously says she'd be better with a cut in the ground. She's very progressive, so yeah, there could be more to come from her. I think if she lines up, she probably is a worthy favourite. I will be taking her on, however, but you know, you have to wait and see what the ground's like, I think, on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I know who you're sweet on, but we'll move on to that very shortly. Matt, what do you reckon? Mecca's Angel? I was getting my sexes mixed up a bit then. Mecca's Angel, what do you make of her?
Yeah, I mean, she's got some good form in the book. As you say, she's only had that one start this season, and she was impressive in winning the Prix de Saint-Georges. And that form has been franked to an extent by the runner-up, Robert Le Diable, who finished runner-up in a very competitive Wokingham. So, I mean, that's turned out all right. She's got a lovely turn of foot, and she's a real battler. You know, I'm sort of put off by the fact she missed Royal Ascot. Not everything's gone to plan, and, you know, she's quite short at the top of the market. And even if they do run her, all the concerns about the ground and that, I'm not sure it's going to come up. Even if it says good, I'm sure it's going to be good to firm in places. So, yeah, I'll be taking her on.
All right, and as mentioned, Wadi. Ben won't shut up about this horse. I have to admit, I'm quite taken as well. Very impressive Scurry Stakes win, 3 from 3 over course and distance. I mean, John Gosden's got a cracking sprinter on his hands here and getting a bit of weight from the favourite as well.
Yeah, I honestly think this horse is a Group 1 winner in the making. He's just improved with every run. He perhaps took a little while to get going early on in his career, but he's done everything right. He's improved. He's 3 from 3 over course and distance. He's 4 from 4 over 5 furlongs. The way he quickened up in the Scurry Stakes last time out was very taking. He's a 3-year-old, so he gets weight from the likes of Mecca's Angel and a couple of the other older horses in this race. And I think there's plenty more to come from him if he continues on the same upward curve that he has done so far. Yeah, and he's the one that I'll be on.
All right, Matt, are you going to side with Ben, show your support for Wadi?
Yeah, I agree. This is one I'll be backing, and I'll be getting on tonight as well, because I think if Mecca's Angel does pull out, I think you'll still get a better price with the Rule 4 at 3-1 than the price it will go off at, because I think it'll probably go off about, I don't know, like maybe slightly odds on the shot, 10 to 11 shot, something like that. I mean, I was really impressed with him last time out. Held up at the rear of the field on the inside, he had to go round everyone and won comfortably under hands and heels. You know, that was very impressive. I agree with everything Ben said. He looks really strong.
Yeah, good point as well. You know, maybe better off to get on quicker rather than later. Obviously, with Mecca's Angel, a few doubts there. Okay, well, got to have a look at a few of the others as well. Salt Island, 4th in the Commonwealth Cup at Royal Ascot, yet to tackle 5 furlongs. I mean, the thinking here perhaps, not been far away since stepping up to group company this season, but has shown in those outings that maybe 6 furlong is one too many.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. Approaching the final furlong in the Commonwealth Cup, he only had the eventual winner, Muharrat, in front of him. So perhaps the step back to 5 furlongs will bring out more. He's been running well this season, in the last 3 runs without getting his head in front. So perhaps, yeah, the drop in class, the drop in trip could bring more. out of him. He won a handicap at Newmarket earlier in the season. That form looks rock solid. There's four subsequent winners have come out of that race. And he is one that could spring a surprise, a mini surprise, I suppose, in this race. But he probably does need to step up slightly here.
All right, another one then for the list. Kingsgate native, the old stager, stepping up to win a listed contest at Haydock last time out. He's back on the box this Saturday, taking on some younger rivals here. How do we rate his chances? You can't rule him out, but you know the prices are probably an accurate reflection.
Yeah, he's not a favourite of mine. I've probably tipped him up every time that he's been running that we've been talking about a race he's running in this podcast. But he was an 11-1 winner last time out at Haydock. This race probably looks stronger. You've got some more progressive types in this race and Mecca's Angel, as we mentioned. He's been second in this race for the last 2 years. So he's gone there, gone well in this contest, but not quite got his head in front. He won't want the rain like Mecca's Angel will. So if we've got a real good to firm surface, he could run a big race. He's not the most consistent. So you're not certain to get a run for your money, perhaps. And there was talk about after his Haydock win about giving him a break. So you know, I don't know whether that's a positive or a negative, the fact they're running him now. Maybe he's come out much better than they thought. But we'll see. He's not got the best draw. He's drawn out wide, I think, as well. So he's got that to overcome. But he could run a big race. But it probably takes a bit of a leap of faith, I think, for him.
Okay, just one other I wanted to have a look at, and I'll let you guys jump in as well. Stepper Point. I mean, a bit unlucky in the King's Stand. He was bumped about a furlong out, I think. But, you know, he's mixed it with the best in the past. And this kind of company... One, again, I don't think we can rule out. But how about you both? Do you have any others that you've been taking a look at?
Yeah, Stepper Point, he obviously won the Flying Five at the Curragh not too long ago, in relative terms, I suppose. He was only beaten half length by Soul Power in the Nunthorpe last year. So he's got some solid form in the book. He's not quite been in the same form this season. He was well beaten in the Palace House Stakes earlier in the campaign. And he needs to rekindle some of that form from last year to be competitive here, I think. Might be worth mentioning Windfire. She was a no-show in the King's Stand, really, to be honest. She's one of the another one that didn't really have the clearest of runs in the Temple Stakes, which we discussed before as a really messy race. But she still did well to finish third. But she's got nearly two lengths to make up with a Kingsgate native on form since then. But, you know, she won this race last year. Sorry, she won the Scurry Stakes last year, and she was fourth in this subsequently. So she's got some decent form over Sandown's sprint track, but you want to see a better performance than she put in the King Stand.
Yeah, I've just got have a small word for Beacon, the outsider at 33-1. You know, been massively disappointing this season. Hasn't really done much, but it's been campaigned over six furlongs a lot, and I think a drop back to five might just be what she needs. You know, won a Group Two as a two-year-old. Definitely got class there from a top yard. You know, maybe got a squeak at an each-way claim.
All right, 33-1, not bad. Let's move on then. 3:10 Coral Distaff, listed race for fillies over 1 mile and 14 yards. And the favourite here is Black Cherry, a winner over course and distance just 22 days ago. Can we pick a few holes in that, though? Not been up against a huge deal. I mean, second behind Fader Hill earlier in her career, who's decent enough, but, you know, at the prices, I think around the 9-4 mark, I think probably well worth taking on.
Yeah, I think this looks a ridiculous price to me. You know, finally got off the mark in a maiden at Goodwood back in May and won well over course and distance after that in a class 4 handicap. The runner-up's since been beaten in a class 5. I just can't have it at 9-4. I don't understand it at all. She's unexposed, but there are plenty of others in this race who are too. I think you've got to put a lot of faith in that 5-length win. It was very visually taken, but... there's other horses in here who've like performed at listed level in pattern races, and I just think this is an absolutely ridiculous price. She's far too short for me.
Yeah, totally agree. As Matt was saying, the runner-up beaten since, and I think there's a couple of others in that race that have come out and been beaten again as well. So that form, as impressive as it was, you've got to question how strong it was. And I totally agree with Matt. I think she's been priced up on what she could be, perhaps, rather than what she's achieved so far. Other than that Fider Hill second, but you know, over a mile she's beaten some horses that have got beaten again, so yeah, she's not for me, certainly.
All right, there's practically steam coming out both your ears. You're really upset about this price for Black Cherry. All right, well, let's have a look at who's behind then. Jellicle Ball, friend of the show, certainly appeared enough times in this podcast. We said after a maiden win at Kempton, I think it was, she could be anything. That was before the Dubai Duty Free Stakes when she was a very game second. sort of shone intermittently since, and there's been signs of steady progression. Has made obviously a big step up in class, the thing that you could really level a black against Black Cherry that she hasn't. So Jellicoe Ball fourth in the Sandringham behind some very good fillies. Is this her time to strike again?
Yeah, for me, I think she is. As you say, she's been in and out this season. I was the first one to slate her price for the race to the Fred Darling at Newbury when she went on to run finished second. But since then, she's slightly disappointed. She flopped in the Guineas, and she was perhaps a bit disappointed and went up to 10 furlongs at Goodwood. But she since sort of come back to that, and fourth place behind a Sailor at Ascot looks solid form. I think that race is quite a decent contest. And, you know, she's put in some decent runs in some listed and group level races where, as we're saying, Black Cherry, she's won a class four handicap. Jellicoe Ball is same price, if not slightly bigger. And I think she's a great bet as long as she can perhaps run with more consistency than she has this season already.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that Sandringham fourth is probably the form of the race, you know, and you're weighing that up against a class four handicap win. This just looks like on paper to me the sort of race she should be winning. I think she could be really well placed here by John Gosden to get a win finally under her belt since her maiden. And I think 11 to 4 is a very fair price considering how short Black Cherry is.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's have a look at a few of the others. Jellicoe Ball, I mean, is the standout one for me as well. Montalcino stepped up to 10 furlongs in her last outing. Came second behind Oaks Chance, Crystal Zvezda on that occasion. I mean, Montalcino was 25-1 that day, only around 11-2 here. Not really any great form to write home about over this distance, but Ryan Moore's in the saddle. Maybe that has an influence. I don't know, but not one I'd be interested in.
Yeah, I think this one's quite interesting, actually. As you say, second behind Crystal Zvezda, over 10 furlongs. And it's difficult to know how good that form is. Obviously, Crystal Zvezda was beaten in the Oaks after a furlong. She ran far too keen, but she could turn out to be a good horse. I've got a feeling that this drop back in trip to a mile will help her, actually. I know last time out, that was her best performance to date, but it's the first time she's really settled well, and she's perhaps looked a little short of stamina at the end. If she can settle nicely here and is given a hold-up ride, as you say, Ryan Moore on board, top jockey, really wouldn't surprise me to see her win this.
Yeah, the Moore factor is going to probably influence her price the way he's been riding. A quick look at a line through Touchline, one of the Queen's horses, says she's probably got a bit to find with Jellicoe Ball. Jellicoe Ball was only beaten a short head by Touchline in that race at Royal Ascot, whereas Montalcino was six lengths back over that same course and distance. Obviously, you can't take it literally, but probably suggests she's got a little bit to find. But there's scope in the price, and there's probably scope in the horse for improvement there. That's what I'm saying. That Crystal Zvezda form is hard to know what to make of it. But, you know, she's got every chance, I suppose, at 11-2.
All right, you two agree with each other. Not with me. Same old, same old. Let's move on. Bella Nostalgia. The up-and-comer, I mean, winner over seven furlongs at Thirsk last time out. Only three previous starts and a fair bit behind some of these on ratings. So what do you reckon to her chances?
She's bumped into a few decent horses in her career. She was well beaten on debut, but she had the winner of that race was Star of Seville, who's obviously gone on to win the Musadora, won the French Oaks. And also in that race was Speedy Boarding, who's won a listed race. So that maiden looked at a really good race. She got off the market at third time of asking at Thirsk, and the horse who was beaten into second, that wasn't far behind Bella Nostalgia, that went on to win by eight lengths next time out. So that form has been franked. She has got to step it up. She's quite a way behind on the ratings. But, you know, she's not run that often, so she's got plenty of room for more improvement here. And 8-1, she could be an each-way price for some people, I guess. Probably not for me, but there's claims there, I suppose.
Well, talking of each-way value, one final one I look at is Hundi, second behind Jazzy Top over a mile in April, which isn't bad, I suppose, considering the latter's fifth place in the Oaks, fairly respectable. So that's maybe another one for the shortlist. Either of you got anything else at bigger price?
Yeah, Iconic looks quite interesting to me. Unexposed and looked a real battler when winning her maiden last time out. It's difficult to weigh up how good that form is at the moment, but, you know, there's nice connections and could challenge for a place. Like, compared to Black Cherry, I don't see much difference between them, and you've got a 9-4 and like a 12-1 shot, so I'd rather be siding with that one.
Yeah, another one to slate Black Cherry with. Blonde Me, she's only run twice. 10-1 shot for Andrew Baldin. She put a solid performance to lose a maiden tag last time out. She ran three times, not two times. She went down narrowly to a horse called Tazfin at Windsor before that. And she got away slowly, but she pulled hard once she got going, kind of thing. So her chances were probably hindered then. She wasn't far behind that horse, and Tazfin went on to finish less than two lengths behind Jellicle Ball later on in that one's career. So a line through that shows that she might have more improvement to come and could be a nice price. Again, she's another one that's got £20 to find on the ratings, but there's after only a handful of runs compared to the sort of three horse Black Cherry, Jellicle Ball and Montalcino, they've all run 4, 5, 6 times. So there's plenty of room for there to be something unexposed come out of this race.
All right, so let's move on then to the final race we're going to cover, the feature race, 3:45, the Coral Eclipse, Group 1 contest over 1 mile 2. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 set to go to post. I don't know why I counted them down like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 set to go to post, including the favourite, Golden Horn, and Whisper It Quietly, but maybe we have a beatable favourite? We'll find out. Only See the Stars has triumphed for the classic generation in this contest in the last 9 years, but can the Derby winner justify those short odds? Around 11-4 on at the moment. Man on a Mission is, of course, the irrepressible Lanfranco de Torri. We know about this horse's class, 4 from 4, and once the afterburners are turned on, very difficult to catch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a massive fan of this horse. I've been massively impressed by everything he's done so far. You know, Jack Hobbs has since gone on to win the Irish Derby by 5 lengths, so that makes the form look even stronger. As you say, he's got that great combination of, like, real strong traveller, and then when he needs to, you can just push the button and away he goes. And I don't think people are scared to come off the bridle on him too soon either. I think he really speeds up, and he's got grit and determination. I think he's got everything. I think he's a proper Group 1 horse. It's all about the price though, isn't it? I mean, John Gosden has described it himself as pretty ridiculous, and it is very, very short. But I think he wins, and he wins well. You know, he gets £11 off the rest of the field, and in these big staying races, that's a big old lump. I don't think the step back and trip will make too much difference. I think he can travel into the race how he wants. I think no matter how the race pans out, it'll be there or thereabouts. And when Frankie asks him to go, he'll go. For me, he wins and wins well.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's probably the winner for me as well. It's not exactly a bold shout, I know, but 4-11, 1-3, I don't think he's I think he's a horrible price. I agree with John Gosden. As Matt was saying, you know, the step back down to 10 furlongs, they were worried about whether he'd get the Derby trip. So you'd have to think that stepping back down to 10 will suit him even more. William Buick's described him as a class above the older horses, so you'd have to think that the camp is keen on the horse. Obviously, Buick not necessarily riding this horse anymore. I would question whether Jack Hobbs boosted the Epsom Derby win with his Irish Derby. You know, he beat the same horses that finished behind him at Epsom, didn't he? I don't know whether he boosted anything. But, you know, it's a good performance coming out of that. I think he's the winner. It could turn tactical, I suppose, with so few runners, but you just got he's a class act, and he could be something very special.
Yeah, are we wasting our money trying to look elsewhere? Well, we'll give it a go. The Grey Gatsby, obviously you can see the value at 3-1. Just touched off by Free Eagle and the Prince of Wales at Royal Ascot. Difficult passage, though. Pretty unlucky. I mean, it's been a tough season for connections to this horse, and since that win over Australia in the Irish Champion Stakes. But, I mean, ride it off at your peril, I suppose.
Yeah, I was one of those ones got stung by his Jamie Spencer special of coming from the back and not finding the gap. Sorry, Jamie. If you're listening. I think he would have won Ascot had he not got stuck that in that pocket there. But it was a good run, and I really like this horse. It's just that £11 he's got to give Golden Horn. I think giving £11 to any half decent horse is going to be tricky, but giving it to a Derby winner, an unbeaten horse, a horse that looks fantastic, is going to take some doing to beat him. Conditions will be spot on. 10 furlongs on a decent surface will be just what he wants. Key to note, I suppose, all of his wins have come when he's not been favourite, and he's been beaten every time he has been favourite. So perhaps people who like that sort of coincidence might clutch onto that. I think he's the only real danger to Golden Horn, but again, it's going to be a massive ask for him.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put anyone off backing him. And by the way, I was on Free Eagle that day, so thanks, Jamie. I think you're great. What I will say, though, and you know, this is an angle some people take. He's a Group 1 winner at this distance, and Golden Horn's not, you know. He's the proven horse at this distance, probably. So I wouldn't put you off backing him, but I think it's all about the £11.
All about the £11. Yeah. Let's move on to the final three. Just a quick word on those, because we will probably be putting a quick line through them. Yeah. All right. Cougar Mountain, I mean, Ballydore's representative, Rye Moore, Ride Again. Probably outran his 16-1 odds. Didn't need to finish third in the Queen Anne. Couldn't get near solo, but strong race. I mean, 10-1, do you think that's a fair price here?
I don't think it's a bad price. I mean, that's good form, you know. Getting within two lengths of Solo, who looks like he's an absolute superstar, is pretty strong. You know, outpaced early on, had to come off the bridle very early. On that evidence, it suggests that this trip will suit. On the other hand, it's sort of this horse was running at over 5 furlongs last year, so it's sort of one of those maybe where they're throwing him in just to see what he might do. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he ran a big race.
Yeah, I mean, his performance at Ascot, I think me and you, we both slagged him off his chances and his price off for Ascot. And then once he came thundering at that late charge, we were worried that we were going to have to eat our words. But that could play into his hands, I suppose, or his hooves. if this race is tactical, if Ryan Moore goes from the front, he could use that speed that we know he's got to nick it. If he gets an easy lead at Sandown, it could be tricky to get him back if he slips him. And he could be an each way player, I suppose, at 10-1. He's not the most consistent type. You'd have to worry whether that Ascot form was just a flash in the pan, so to speak. But you know, there's first time cheap pieces on then. I think they stay on again for Saturday. So maybe they were the key. But if it turns tactical, he could be an interesting one, actually.
Yeah, we did slag him off a lot, actually, and got quite worried towards the end there. But if we are looking at alternatives in terms of the prices, maybe a better one, arguably. Western Hymn, I mean, third in the Prince of Wales. Before that, 2 wins on the bounce over course and distance. I mean, does love Sandown. A bit juicier at 14s. Maybe better value in that if you are looking for an each-way play than 10-1 about Cougar Mountain.
I'm not so sure. I don't know. He obviously, he's 3 from 3 over course and distance, so he obviously loves the place. He won the Brigadier Gerard. He's got a couple of lengths to make up the Grey Gatsby, though, so he's got to overturn the form of the Grey Gatsby and beat Golden Horn and see off the potential improvement from Cougar Mountain and stepped up in trip. All that with probably, he'd probably be better with a bit of cut in the ground. John Gosden said he's not a certain runner. Yeah, I think I would probably, if I was going to have a bet on either of the two out of Cougar Mountain and Western Hymn, I'll probably take a chance with Cougar Mountain to see if there's more to come. But yeah, he obviously loves the place, so you never know, he could run a big race.
And finally then, Tullius, victim in one of those Western Hymn wins, 100-1 shot. He has won at this track twice before, but I mean, realistically, he's probably just there to swell the small field. And 10 furlongs is probably not his trip either. I don't know if either of you want to come in and add anything else to that. No? All right. Fair enough. Okay, well, we're looking forward to this Saturday's racing live on Channel 4. Don't forget, if you back a winner at 4-1 or greater in any live Channel 4 race, we'll give you a free bet up to £25. Head to ladbrokes.com, of course, online, on mobile and on tablet for all the latest odds.